I mean, here's the music.
Yeah, no doubt. I like that.
Oh, man. It gets you amped to play this start a podcast, right? Like,
yep. Nice.
Right here. Right?
Who does it?
Oh, okay. Right there. Pod.
Drop.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. And shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that incredible intro-outro music. Man, the guy was a guest on episode 14, shortly after you, actually. You know, like, you were episode, like, 3 and, like, 10 episodes-ish, 11 episodes-ish later, he was a guest, and he created that intro-outro music for us. And, man, he's small-time. He plays in a band, but he works a blue-collar job, not something he wanted to do. That wasn't his passion, but it paid for his hobby that turned it, like, his, you know, and it afforded him to be able to afford the guitars, the drum sets, the music gear he needs, right? And you can find him on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. He's there. He's not a big following, but, like, it's there, right? Like, he doesn't care. He's not about that. He just wants to, yep. If 300 people watch his stuff, he's happy with it. Right? Like, he's like, and that's 300 people that didn't see it before. So,
and what's his name again?
Senjin Boychuk.
Senjin Boychuk. Okay. I'll look him up as soon as we're off here. Yeah.
No, he's from Regina. He lives in Regina.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Nice. That riff was awesome. I like that. So,
dude, incredible. We're trying to get lyrics. We've been saying it for months. I want to get lyrics added to it, but, like, it comes when it comes. We don't really need the lyrics, but, like, one day, maybe.
It's a good riff. It's a good riff. I like that. I got a drum set in the corner of the basement here. I might just hit that thing after.
Did you touch my drum set?
Yeah. Best movie ever.
Best movie ever. It's funny because we on the last episode, the one before this one comes out, we referenced that movie like 20 times.
That and Talladega Nights. I don't know which one.
Oh my God, man. We referenced that movie too. Like, we're just referencing all the movies, man. We're just like, Ricky Bobby, it ain't first or last, yeah. Right? Yeah.
I watched Zoolander last night with my wife, and I'm like, this is just not right. I don't know. His character in Zoolander is, like, just a little too far, but he does good.
Was that the first time you watched Zoolander?
No. Shoot, no. It's been a while since I watched it, but I don't know. I got home last night from trucking, and my wife was watching Zoolander, so I just kind of sat on the couch with her and watched Zoolander, and then I went to bed.
Yeah. You've been to Derek Zoolander School for people who can't read or write good, huh?
No. I should go someday.
What is this, a facility for ants? You know?
Exactly. Yeah, we need comedy in this world.
Well, anyways, fucking, you know, shout out to Senjin Boychuk. And on today's episode, we have our second ever reoccurring guest. You know, way back on episode 3, we had Chris Barber, you know, and he's back. We've been aiming to get this one done for a while, you know. And I love watching your stuff, and I love following you. I love texting you. You know, like, where are you at today? You never know what side of the country you're on at any time, right?
Man, I was in southern Saskatchewan this morning, and then I was driving down the highway hauling this big, big combine, tall and wide pile of truck in front of me, and all of a sudden, boom, this big, and then the dust just flies out from underneath the truck at highway speed, and I punched a hole in the side of one of my drive tires. So it was an early day to red. I limped her home, and I spent the afternoon in the shop changing. And of course, I've got the big fenders on it, right? So it's a pain in the ass to change a tire, but
yeah, man. Fucking, I love Sask, man. I just spent most, like, 90% of my summer there so far, dude. And, you know, I love Saskatchewan. You know, I used to live in Saskatoon. I love working all over Saskatchewan. I know a lot of people all over the place, right? And I just, you know, like, this is one of the first summers I've worked here in a while where I haven't, you know, I don't want the summer to end. I'm not eager to get back to the vac truck. You know, I'm having a good time. And you know what, man? Like, I talked about this last episode. For the first time in a long time, I feel good mentally, like 100% good, right? Like, you know, not this, like, oh yeah, I'm like 70-30, you know, but no, I'm 100% there mentally right now. Physically, I feel fantastic. And you know, like, the vac truck, I think the vac truck is a big part of, you know, why my mood changes in the year and all, like, I don't know if I want to do that work anymore. Right. And, you know, I got something I got to really consider looking into this winter while I'm there. I will be there. I've been looking for ways out of it for a couple of years. Right. And now I'm, you know, what's kept me there is the schedule, the brotherhood, and the fact that I can make good content there. Right. And it can't be all about the content, because I can make content. I've come to learn that this summer, right? Like, still making good content. I'm not as much of it because I've taken a little step back, but, you know, still making that content, still making the blue collar stuff, and just not on the vac truck, you know, and maybe it's time to revisit or visit another avenue. You know,
there's a lot of people out here right now doing this avenue with the podcast. And I was, you know, if I can give an hour of my time to help out with that, by all means. There's some good guys in the prairies, you know, Sean Newman and Lloyd Minster, and then there's you. Yeah, like all across the board. Carla Treadway, she's out in Ontario and Kenora. There's a lot of good people, and networking those people across to, you know, boost your platforms is. Tamara and I have talked about doing a podcast. We're supposed to be launching one, but there's so much stuff going on. We're in our busy season right now. Harvest is kicking in and everybody wants their farming stuff hauled. So, like, balls to the walls.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing about farming. I spent the summer in Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. I met a farmer and his wife in Quill Lake. Oh, and, you know, like, we talked and we're still talking, right? And I think farming is maybe an avenue I want to try going down, right? And he's like, man, a good hand makes good money. 100%. And, you know, like, they get paid year round, even when it's slow, they stay on the payroll and they just get paid to hang out. And it's mostly just running equipment. It's so easy. And they're like, man, we'd pay you, like, you know, a decent day rate and, you know, be on the books. And, you know, I could make the same amount I make in the winter on the vac truck. Right. And then, you know, summertime comes, you're spraying and you're in the spring, you're seeding and then you're spraying and then the harvest. Right. And then rinse, repeat. Yep. Right. And he's like, yeah, man, he's like a good farmhand. You know, we keep them, you know, we maybe help them buy a house around the farm, you know, like build one or get some land and whatnot. And man, it's something I'm going to be looking into in the future as time goes on. Right. And man, Saskatchewan, I didn't want it to end this year, man. Hey, I love the land of the living skies.
You put me in my happy place, and that's hauling equipment around the provinces, and especially in Big Red, which I've been doing the last little while. I've been on the hotshot truck the last while, pulling combine headers out the farmyards and dealerships, and I've been in the gooseneck. I've been in Big Red the last week. It's been busy, but there's nothing better than trucking across the prairies. You know, like, I've been to BC, I've been to Nova Scotia now, I've been to Ontario. I'm a prairie boy. We've been on the road, yeah. And I in Saskatchewan, I live 2 miles from Lake Diefenbaker, so I'm 2 miles from the river, and I don't spend near enough time there. I think tomorrow I've got a buddy that's having a birthday, and we'll be running down to the river to spend the afternoon in the lake. It's perfect swimming. It's good Saskatchewan muddy water, but hey, that's what we were born and raised on. So
absolutely, buddy, that's amazing. Man, so, like, what else have you been up to? Like, you know, I think it's been a year and a half now since we last talked, right? And
it's been that long.
Yeah, ooh. Dude, it was last January, but last January, maybe even February. Your episode 3, you might have been like late January, ooh, early February, man, like 2022.
We need to fix that. What the heck? It's been so busy the last. Oh, as you know, when I talked to you a year and a half ago, we were still waiting for trial. We're still in trial. I don't know when this episode is going to air, but on Wednesday, I'm going to take off with the camper and my wife, and we're going to head east. We're going to make the best of it. We're going to make this into a holiday. Usually, we take the camper out to British Columbia for a couple weeks every summer. And I said to the wife, I'm like, we don't have time to go out there this summer. We have trial for about 5 days in August, ranging from the 13th, 14th, 15th, and the 19th, and the 20th. So I said, I don't know, like, let's just hook up to the camper and we'll just go and we'll just take our time and we'll see Canada. We'll hang out at the Great Lakes. We'll, you know, like, let's go do some cool stuff on the way out there. And she agreed to it. So on Tuesday, I'll get new tires put on the camper. And on Wednesday, we head west with the camper. So I'm excited.
East with the camper, east.
Right? Who the hell goes east with the camper, especially 3,000 kilometers? But, you know, like, we do usually, we put 2,000 to 2,500 kilometers on in the summer with the camper anyway, so we're doubling that. But But it'll be cool. And then we're not in a hotel and we're not in somebody else's Airbnb. It's going to save about a bunch of money. So that, you know, what we're going to save on hotel and apartment rental and all that sort of stuff will be more than pay for the fuel. And then we'll have our kitchen and we're comfortable. We have our bed and our closet and everything's all right there. So
absolutely.
I can't wait. But it's a long drive. So, but we're going to make the best of it.
You know? I've done that drive a couple of times, man. And, you know, like, it's so have you. But like,
this will be the fifth time we returned to Ottawa for trial.
Man, that is insane, dude. Like, wasn't that supposed to end after, like, you were supposed to know if you were going to jail or not, like, last September?
Yeah, 16-day trial for mischief. And we are now bouncing off 38 days now, and by the time we're done, we'll be 42 days in trial, spanning 12 months, and we won't have a decision for probably, you know, she could take up to 6 months to give a decision. So, but I've said this before, and I'll say it again. No matter what the decision, win or lose, I believe that we've already won this. We've exposed so much government corruption. You know, Trudeau can't walk into a building right now without being heckled by somebody outside of the street. His cabinet's a disgusting mess. This country has been, you know, like, look at the corruption we've exposed and continue to.
Well, also look at what the Court of Canada decided, that the Emergency Measures Act was an infringement upon our civil liberties, right? It went against our freedoms.
Yeah, right? Justice Mosley in Ottawa just ruled on that back, what was that, January, February, something like that. I want to make sure that the shout out goes to Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms for actually funding that initiative to file that ruling or to file that motion and to have that ruled on. So thankfully, there's still some good organizations doing some really good work out there.
Yeah, man, that's incredible, dude. And, you know, like, I think I posted that on Facebook when it came out. I'm like, man, like, how many people had to suffer through that? How many people had their bank accounts frozen in the name of that, right? And I don't like to get too political, but, like, you know, like, right now we're in political turmoil is what we are, right? No matter what side you vote on, there's no good way to go right now, right? Like, I think the only person, and I think I've said this before, the only person that's suitable right now for the job will never get in, right? And that's Mad Max, right? Mad Max is the only one who wants to make any real change. Pierre Poilievre, I like the guy, and like I like his zingers because he's all about zing, yeah. Right? But like it's just an echo chamber.
He's literally the short-term solution to a long-term problem. This country's in trouble. I just redid my mortgage 3 days ago in banking in Canada, and my payment went up $400 a month on my mortgage payment. So welcome to inflation in this country. And my banker, he said, you know, the government's doing a really good trying to get getting inflation under control. And like, have you been to the grocery store lately? Like, no, we're still paying huge dollars for groceries. The fuel is through the roof. Everything's through the roof right now. Nobody's doing a good job inflation. You don't raise something, you know, 25%, but drop it 5% and then think that you've won.
Yeah, no, it's pretty insane, dude. And, you know, Pierre Poilievre has done an amazing job at painting Trudeau as this guy, right? Yep. And Trudeau is responsible for a lot of dumb shit. Right. Yep. But half the shit that Pierre Poilievre is saying, right, like it doesn't fall under Trudeau's jurisdiction. And he's done an immaculate job at making the Canadian population believe that Trudeau is responsible for a lot of this. Yeah, right. And like, yeah, he is in a way. Right. But like, man, the smarter people have to, like, cooler heads have to prevail here. Right. Because like you got to think about, you know, what's at stake there. Right. Like, they're uniparty, right? Two birds of the two wings of the same bird, right? Like, and it's, you know, just
one thing I was mentioned too is like, what the hell happened to be the happy medium? What happened to conversation between the two? It seems like if you're left, and if you're right, you're right. There's no center ground anymore. You either hate each other like what they do now. It's insane.
Yeah, man. Like, you see all over Twitter. I love watching your Twitter, man. And I love it, dude. Oh, who's that girl who rides around on like that fucking on that cart or whatever in Ottawa?
Oh, Nugs, purse nuggets,
man. Like, she's a prostitute, isn't she?
In a school zone. That's what, you know, like in Ottawa, there's a school district, and then there's Nugs' house where she performs sexual activities on. Come on. And she comes to the court. She's got some severe mental issues. We all know that. But, you know, I hope she's there next month. I can't wait to see her. Because
she's going to be there. She's
She's just enthralled with it. She's fascinated, obsessed with this. So we'll give her what we want. And it's funny because every time you walk in there, I'm always walking with my lawyers and my wife. And she's standing there trying to get a reaction out of me. And my lawyers are going, Chris, don't say anything. Don't even look at her. Chris. And then we go to Twitter after and fight. So Twitter's like my troll grounds. I don't put anything into Twitter other than just having fun and mocking and just
going. I love Twitter. Like, I can only give Twitter about 10 to 15 minutes of my attention a day. And after about 10-ish, I'd say even closer to 5. After 5 minutes, I'm fucking mad. Right? I'm just like, I can't. But then I keep scrolling, and then, you know, I'm basically there for hockey shit. And podcast stuff, right? But like, there's so much politics on there, and I follow so many people, right? And so like, I'm just constantly, you know, coming across it, man, and it's it makes me so mad.
One of my friends describes it as it's a billboard, and you put what you want on your billboard, and then people driving by can just yell at that billboard what they want. And so if you consider it like that. I love it. I'll fire up in the morning if I'm in the mood, because sometimes I have to be in the mood to do it or not. And I'll put something on there that's ridiculous. It'll just trigger the shit out of the left. And then they all come in. Me and my trolling, I used to be able to post something controversial, and then I would wait for the left to get fired up. Now I post something nice and they get fired up.
It's like, hey, you know, enjoyed this warm glass of milk today. And they're like, you piece of shit. Yeah.
I hope you die. Enjoy Bubba in jail.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Have you met him yet? Has he been at the courthouse waiting for you? You know, like, you know, you're in trial and he's just in the background like, hey, Chris, bro, I'm waiting here for you, dog. You know,
basically, like Bubba, I don't know why the left has a fascination with anal prison rape for some reason. And I don't really understand why, but
hope you like the taste of prison food and
I don't know. I'm a fairly big guy. I don't know if you've seen me in person. I don't know if I'll be somebody's bitch or if I'll be who knows.
Oh, dude, you're definitely making someone your bitch. You're just like, you're a big dude. Like, when I met you, I almost just wanted to drop the soap just to get over.
I'm practicing every time I have a shower and I got the bar of soap. I'm like dropping it personally just to see how fast I can pick it up. But you know, I
gotta have that shit on a rope, man. You know,
like, exactly.
Hey, prison awaits. You never know. You're just sitting in the shower with the wife. You keep dropping it. She looks at you. She's like, fuck, like not right now, right?
Somebody asked me that question the other day. They sent me a message. And they're like, what's the worst case scenario for your trial? Like, what is the worst case and what's the best scenario? So I said, well, obviously the best scenario is to be found innocent of all charges, but worst case is 10 years in federal prison. I know some of the other convoy guys have gotten who have been found guilty have been getting house arrest. So, I mean, I live on a farm, so give me a good radius of my yard on a house arrest, I'll wear that damn ankle bracelet all day long.
Yeah, shit, man. Like, you know who I haven't seen in a long time? Like, it's been a while. Last time I saw him, he was kind of losing his shit a little bit. I haven't seen Rooster around the internet.
Yeah, no, Rob, I haven't. Last I heard, he moved out to BC and fell in love and was living out there somewhere. I haven't, you know, there's a lot of people that were heavily involved with Ottawa that have kind of dropped off the map some went a little sideways. Some are still, you know, hanging there. Tamara's actually coming on, you know, she's going to head out about a week early for trial, and she's actually going to spend the night at my place and have beers with my wife and I tomorrow on Saturday night, I guess. So,
and without lawyers present is the key word.
Everybody want to know this story? We went, you know, like Danny Bulford, we were going to do a fundraiser for Burn Buchard up in Fort St. John back in December. And I've got conditions against Danny Bulford. Danny Bulford lives up in the Grand Prairie region, and Danny was going to be there. So I emailed the lawyers and I said, hey, can we get these conditions removed? There's a fundraiser and I'd really like to see Danny Bulford and his wife Piper. And the Crown prosecutor emailed back and said, yeah, absolutely. There's no problem with that. Release bail variation was done. Conditions were dropped. We were all good. So after all the evidence portion of our trial was complete and defense, you know, we didn't do a defense because really there's nothing there to defend. They had nothing. And we just said, you know, now that the evidentiary portion of the trial is complete, can we have these conditions between Tamara and I, you know, ended? You know, we drive back and forth to Ottawa all the time. What the hell happens if we stop at the same gas station or at the same hotel or, you know, restaurant? Overwhelming no from the Crown. You know, no, we will not release those conditions. So we kind of thought, you know what, screw you. We're going to go in front of the judge and we're going to ask the judge opinion on this. So we brought a motion forward. We stood and argued the arguments. The Crown's arguments were really weak. It was like, well, you know, we could get back to evidentiary portion of this trial at any moment. And the judge stood up and said, like, no, there'll be no more evidence. The evidence is solidified in this case, exact words. And I don't agree with you. And she removed the bail conditions. So I had a semi in medicine hat that was getting fixed and we had to go pick it up. So I jumped in the pickup with my son and my daughter and we drove to medicine hat. They dropped me off at a lounge. Tamara and I sat and had beer all afternoon and just talked without lawyers. It was awesome. We had a good chat and now we can like freely just phone each other when we want. So it's nice.
That is pretty amazing. And the evidence, the evidentiary portion, right? Like if I remember correctly, they had submitted evidence after the deadline to submit evidence came, right? And like the judge was so pissed, like, yo, you're fucked, right? Like, you know,
well,
like,
they did that. Yeah, they did. We printed the pages. The lawyers actually looked at the evidence that they submitted afterwards, and it was like 2 4-inch binders or something like that. And it was, and she, you know, the lawyer took it into the courtroom and slammed the 2 big books down on the desk and said, "This is the games that they're playing." And of course, that didn't go over very well with the judge. So, but it's been like that the entire trial. It's basically, well, he said honk. So, you know, but then they'd have to remind him, like, well, saying honk isn't illegal, but he said honk, honk. And, you know, somebody felt offended. You know, I didn't blow a horn in downtown Ottawa. My truck was there for a week and it was removed. So, you know, they're grasping at straws. So,
like, did they tow your truck away?
No. See, Antifa was running around doing some crazy stuff. And I'd got word that they were going to try and sabotage Big Red sitting in front of the Supreme Court. And so that's my baby. I heard that and I thought, well, let's get it out of there. So because I didn't have the time to sit there and watch it all the time. We were running so hard. So I hit the warmers on it and I drove it out. It was difficult. There was police blockades everywhere you turned in downtown Ottawa, but we took it out outside of the city. We used it for a few slow rolls and drove it around a little bit here and there. And it, for the most part, it sat outside of town. So.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that, man. That's pretty interesting. Like you seen it there quite a bit. Right. And man, mm-hmm. There's like still, man, I said it on the first episode, dude, you know, like that convoy changed a lot of shit. And, you know, like, you know, I felt an extreme sense of pride to be a Canadian while you guys were rolling across the country, right? Like, yeah. And a lot of people did. You guys were met with cheers and like flags and shit. And it was crazy because once the media got a hold of it, right? And then it was like, oh shit, right? But that day and every day since, it's like, fuck yeah. I know Chris and fucking, you know, and that whole thing, man. Like that'll be a Canadian heritage moment for the rest of our lives.
The truth is coming out of what actually happened in Ottawa, and I think that's the important thing right now. The government message to the media to destroy these people to make us look as bad as possible, and they did everything in their power to make that happen. And there's people out there that believe that, but as I've been trucking, hauling equipment across the prairies, I can honestly tell you every farmyard that I pull into to deliver a piece of farm equipment, I get met with nothing but support. Every farmer, man, I stopped in Kindersley, Saskatchewan to get a Dairy Queen ice cream cone last night because it was so hot. Parked on the service road, the guy in the drive-through lineup kind of gave me a wave as I was walking in the building. He purposely waited there to pay for my order before I, you know, I went to the washroom and I came back out. I ordered a Blizzard and a dog bowl for Zippy. And I come back out and the lady said, no, the guy in the drive-through looked after your order for you. So I grabbed my Blizzard and I walked up to the street and it was nothing but people driving by and stopping to say hi. The ice cream was melting in my hands as I was having conversations with different people. And, you know, there's a ton of support out there. You know, this morning unloading a combine in a guy's yard southwestern Saskatchewan, and his wife came out and started taking photographs. We got the kids up and they wanted their fail photos in front of Big Red. We had a huge effect on a lot of people all across this country, and people are waking up now to exactly what the hell actually transpired. So,
yeah, it's absolutely. Nice. It's absolutely, you know, like I remember, and we heard this past week too, or not this past week, this past couple of months, we heard that, you know, the election interference thing, right? Like why he called the election in 2021. He didn't want to lose after they found that out, right? He wanted to be able to get back into power and cover that shit up, right? And you know, that was right around shortly after the Freedom Convoy, right? Like that was only a few months later.
It was November was the election, was it not? Or I don't remember.
October, baby.
October, yeah.
Yeah. I think it was October, man. And like, you know, like, you know, I still don't understand when I look at Twitter and I see all this support for Trudeau. Right. And I don't get it. Are you guys trolling? Are you guys like, you guys just don't see shit? Are you guys okay? Like, blink twice if you need help, right? And you know, like, hey, blink twice if you need help, bro. Like I'm paying the same grocery bill you're paying. You know, like I'm paying the same fucking everything you're paying. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you guys are still okay with this? You're still on board with this, right? Like, at what point do we say enough is enough? Was it when, you know, the Emergency Measures Act? Was it the Aga Khan? Was it like every single fucking person that this guy's had in his cabinet? I read an article the other day that said, when Trudeau says he's got your back, it's usually by knife point, right? And he's ready to stab you in the back. Like the other day, he came to the defense of Chrystia Freeland and he's like, hey, I got your back, right? Well, Melanie Jolly you had her back. You had Joe Poe's back. You had,
from BC,
Raybould, right? You had all these people's back until you didn't. And look who just resigned like a week ago. It was Seamus
O'Regan. Yeah, that was a good one. Now, if only Stephen Gabeau would follow suit. Tamara has just a love for him on Twitter. If you're ever following Tamara Leach on Twitter, she's just constantly beaking up Stephen Gabeau, and he's a different duck. Let's just say.
Do you think the Liberals or Trudeau or any of them ever read after they post something absolutely ridiculous? Do you think they ever go through the comment section? Do you ever think they read it? Do you think like, oh wow, we're out of touch? Or do you think like they just post it and they walk away? They don't care what people say.
Honestly, I think they just post it and they don't care what people think of them. Honestly, every time you look through the comment section on that, it's nothing but people expressing their anger towards that elected official. And
yeah.
We need accountability. We put these people in Ottawa to run our lives, and so far they've run our lives into the ground. I don't know any other nation that's heavily taxed as what Canada is. Everywhere you turn, you're paying a tax. Tell me what you've lost for freedoms in this country. Ask me what you have to get permission from the government to just about do anything nowadays.
Yeah. Well, look, did you see that article the other day? 46% of our money is now going towards taxation. Look, my wife sent it to me the other day. Actually, it's 46%. It might be right here. I sent it to my boss right afterwards. So, and
I'd actually almost think it would be higher than that, wouldn't it? By the time you get done with the PST and the liquor tax and the, you know,
here it is. The average Canadian family spent more of its income on all forms of taxation, 43%, than on basic necessities such as food, shelter, and clothing combined, 35%. Wow. According to the Fraser Institute. So like, we spent more on taxation than we have on everything else combined. And for the first time in Canadian history, we are paying more to service our debt than on healthcare.
100%. Look at it right now. Like I said before, like, my mortgage has gone up $400 a month, and I did a 12-month amortization because I'm hoping the interest rates go down somewhat. I didn't want to be caught in that.
Yeah.
Man, that's $400 a month. Like, that's...
You know, like, you and I, we work, we're fortunate to make like a decent amount of money, right? We're fortunate, right? There's not a lot of it. And you know, like, I spent a little bit of time working in town and you know, over the years, and I look around and I'm like, how are these people that aren't making, you know, overtime, like in the oil field, we're working that overtime, you know, how are the people that are just working 8 hours a day for like minimum wage or even $25 an hour, say, right? Like, how the hell are you guys affording to live right now?
Well, and like, waiting for universal basic income to kick in, because you know that's one of the things that's on the playing field. Like, people don't want to work. I run a trucking company. We run five semis. We have four escort vehicles on the road right now, and finding good employees. We've got a really good group of guys right now, and it's awesome to have that. And we've, you know, but to find those fill-in guys and to have the loyalty or the stability, it's hard, very hard.
Yeah. Well, I work on a back truck, right? How hard is it to find class one guys right now? Class one drivers. We are class three even. We're forced to hire the bottom of the barrel. Right. And guys that like, they're just seat fillers. That's all they do is hold the steering wheel. They can't do anything else. And you got to be okay with that. right? Like my boss said to me, last winter we were up in Dawson Creek working nights in that minus 40 shit. And, it was really frustrating. Actually, one of the guys, he just doesn't get it. He's been there almost 2 years and they can't get rid of him because they need a guy to sit there. Right. Okay. And so he's fucking up and fucking up and fucking up. And I made a video. I had my phone in his face and I'm like, you know, I admire my boss's dedication to the inclusivity and diversification program. You know, it can't be hard. It can't be easy hiring this many retards, right? This many people with disabilities is what I said.
Just that one.
And he cried. He cried to my boss. He literally called him up and he was crying on the phone. And I'm like, man, like, you got to understand. And my boss calls me and he's like, hey, man, we got to talk. I'm like, okay. He's like, listen, I understand, but we're going to lose that contract. We don't have someone sitting in the seat. And I'm like, man, you're going to lose this contract because of who you have in the seat.
Yep.
Right. And he's like, I get it. And I'm like, I don't think so, man. And then I'm like, just tell me one thing. The video was funny. Right. And he's like, yeah, it was pretty funny. I'm like, I'm done. I'll walk away. And I see, yep. You know, like, here you go. I digress. Right. Like I won this. And lo and behold, though, within like 3-4 months, we lost that contract. It was gone.
Oh,
right. Shoot. So it was because of who we had in the seat. Right. And I said that. I'm like, man, listen, you're worried about losing it if you have no one in the seat.
Yep.
You're going to lose it because of who's in the seat. Right. And lo and behold, that's what happened. Right. And it's frustrating, man. And
want quality. You don't want quantity. You want quality. And that's where we're missing. Like I said, slow to hire, quick to fire is what should be the motto, you know. And we, like I said, we got a really good group of guys. We pull some really big stuff, like the stuff that we haul. If we're not moving, you know, combine headers is one of the smaller things we move. Jonathan, my son right now, is 21 years old, and he had an 86 foot Burgo drill on his way to Saskatoon today with our other driver, Dylan. So big, massive stuff. You have to be smart in the head to be running that stuff. It's yeah. Tricky.
Slow to hire, quick to fire. I love that. I love that. You know, shortly after that, right, I decided I've had enough of this swamping shit, right? And I'm like, man, there's like, I can do everything else with my eyes closed. I just got to get the driving part down. So I spent a couple months last winter. You know, the shift pattern really throws me off. Right. Mm-hmm. But it shouldn't. It's just an H. And, you know, I started taking interest. I'm like, hey, I don't want to drive, but we need someone in that, you know, can do it and can do the rest of the work too. Right. And so I started jumping in. I'm like, hey, man, we're leaving site. Can I drive down the lease road? Can I drive around site? And when we get back to the shop, I was driving around the yard and I was just getting her down. I stalled out a lot. Yeah. I stalled out a lot.
That's a given.
Yeah, downshifting is my enemy, right? Like, but I was getting it, you know? I was starting to get it. And then I left for the summer to come here. And when I go back, I will be picking right up where I left off. I want to drive, right? And they're going to get me my class one.
There you go. That's the key.
Yeah, we're leaning towards more now, though. And I think we talked about this before. A lot more companies are starting to go with automatics because you need to broaden that workforce. You need to broaden that labor pool because we're getting lost in the, there's not a lot of people that can do this anymore. Right. And so get automatics. They might be shit, but at least now you can hire a fuck ton of other people. Right. And that,
my old trucks. I like we run a fleet of older trucks. I think our oldest truck is a 1998. Our newest truck would be 2010, I guess. But yeah. I mean, it's all, I like the old iron. The 98 is obviously e-log exempt, so we don't have e-log. Wait, paper logs. You still have a log book, but it's nice. Even Big Red, like you go jump in Big Red, it's got this stupid e-log computer thing hooked up to the ECM on it and an iPad on the dash now. And when you start driving, it flashes and goes driving mode. And yeah, you know, it's a lot
You know who Chase Barber is, right?
Yep.
Edison Motors, right? So you were episode 3, I believe, and he was like episode 19.
Oh.
No, he wasn't. He was like in the 30s, maybe. So like he was last summer. He was on last summer. So yep. a few months after you. And Chase, I love Chase Barber, right?
Yeah,
and,
I do too.
Yeah. And we were talking and he's like, man, all the paper log does now, or the electronic log does, is it makes it more dangerous because now you're racing the clock, right? Now you're racing that e-log, right? Yep. And oh, you know what? Like I got to hammer down because I got to get here before that e-log runs out, right? And now people are speeding, right? He's like, all it did was you brought in the e-logs to make the super carriers happy, yeah. Right? So their competition would, you know, it was a competition thing.
Do you ever notice now that a lot of semis just pull over on the side of the highway at random spots all over the place?
All over the place.
That's the e-log doing that. So the e-log is literally telling them when they need to stop and take a break. And then they, instead of planning things out like what I usually do, like you'll never see me pull over on the side of the highway unless I have an issue. You know, you plan your trips out. You know that you can stop in, you know, the nearest city center or whatever it may be. Yeah. But a lot of these drivers, and they drive automatic transmissions because, you know, like this is our driving class now. And I don't think many people understand that the quality of driver in Canada right now, east to coast to west coast, is really sad. You know, a lot of the old veterans, the drivers that have been out here for the right reasons, are gone now or retired or don't want to be part of it because of the regulations are so high. Yep. You know, and I see that my desk is full. You know, like I just got a notification that one of my drivers, you know, is getting close to his e-log expiring for the day. And yeah, it's my son.
Well, I guess out pops the old paper log and away he goes. Yep. Look, just started at, you know, 8:30 here.
Oh, and it's yeah, but the last night it was me, you know, I hit the gravel road and my logbook was 2 seconds away from being in the red. And so, you know, it's that's the racing that you're doing in a day and you can't stop and check on your equipment like you used to because it's a clock. And the United States is even worse when you cross the border. You've got 11 hours to drive in a day in a 14-hour window. Yeah. So, you know, you start your logbook at 8 o'clock in the morning, you got to be off the road by 10 that night.
Yeah.
Canada, at least you have a 16-hour window and you can do 13 hours. So, and we're doing ag equipment right now, and that is our busy season right now. It is flat out. These guys are,
man, you know, you got to be able to go like all times of the day, right? You got to be like, hey, man, I got to fly. Right.
And so that pisses me off about the trial too. Now I have to leave in the middle of my busy season and go, you know, it'll take me 3 weeks or so to go out to Ottawa and back and trial. And I get back and we'll probably be done harvest. So,
yeah.
Or close
to it. That's shitty.
Yeah.
No, that's, yeah. Good thing Jonathan's got the fort down, right? Like, how's he doing? You know, like,
you know, that kid is 21. You know,
I think he broke or something.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. He broke his arm and he had a few months off because of that. He was driving Big Red. His motor blew on his truck a little while back. So he was driving Big Red and he finally come home one day and he said, you know what? I can't drive your truck anymore, Dad. It's just everywhere you go, it's people wanting to talk and honk and whatever it is. So he's like, I love it, but I'm going to take a break from driving Big Red. So Big Red's mine to drive now fully and solely. I don't let anybody else in the seat. Jonathan is a 21-year-old kid that was kind of thrown into this business, you know, because of his dad's situation right now in the legal realm. So he, you know, I took a load up to a farmer here a little while ago, just a quick story. He said, you know, I dealt with your son on the last load that you guys delivered me. He says, and I talked to him and I hear, I was thinking this kid was, you know, well responsible and everything. And this young kid pulled up in a semi in my yard with the sprayer that he just bought. And he said, so you work for Jonathan? And Jonathan, he said, no, I am Jonathan. And he was just floored. He's like, I thought I was talking to like a 35, 40-year-old guy. And this 21-year-old kid pulled into my yard. And he said, I wouldn't have known the difference. Jonathan is so well-spoken. He's so good with customers. You know, he's got the best head on his shoulders ever. I couldn't, you know, and I've seen in the courtroom when we're sitting out in Ottawa, when we do our truck safeties every 6 months, you know, you'll get an email. So the email will come to my phone and I'll be sitting in the courtroom and I'll look at the email and I go, oh crap, there's a bunch of stuff to fix on this truck for the safety at the end of the month. And then I'll see the invoice come through on the email for the parts it needs to fix the truck. And Jonathan takes the truck home and he works all weekend on the truck and has it ready to go for Monday and he's back again. Like that's a 21-year-old kid that I can't be prouder of. So.
And he's got some ambition, you know, he knows what needs to be done and you raised him up right, man. And that you got to be a proud dad right there, dude. That's awesome.
Very much so. Yeah. He's actually out of the house now. He's 21. He's moved in with his girlfriend in Swift Current. And yeah, he's got a
baby's coming. Baby's coming.
She's a good girl. She keeps him on her toes. Oh, yeah.
His name is
I'm Thumper, almost. Buddy. Sorry?
His nickname is Thumper now.
Oh, gosh, yeah. He's got a good woman there.
That's
and,
good.
That's... Sierra's, my yeah. daughter Sierra's been piloting for us right now. So she's running a pilot truck. Yeah, it's been busy. So and she's going to take off this summer and go be a nanny out in Maryland, I believe, is where she's focused. She wants to get involved with children, and she wants to be an au pair. So I think she's taking a gap year on university, and she wants to do that. So is dad a little nervous about his daughter moving, you know, 3,000 kilometers away or even farther than that, I guess?
Not but only she's... to that, but to Baltimore.
Yeah, like Baltimore. Yeah, like, yeah. A little nervous about that, but she's 19 and I can stay in touch with her all the time. So they gotta leave. We'll be empty nesting here pretty quick. Like the house is kind of quiet now. It's just Rael and I, we kind of sit on the deck in the evenings when I am home and just kind of like, did you hear that noise? No, there's no noise. There's no kids here.
Dude, that's the joys of life. You're entering back into a different season of life, right? Like my yep. wife and I, we were alone for 12 years without kids, right? There was just her and I for 12 years, yep. No kids. We traveled a lot. We experienced so many cool things, right? And over the course of the last 7 years, right? You know, that's all changed. We haven't traveled as much. We haven't experienced a lot. Three of those years were like, fucking, hey, you're not allowed to travel. Fuck you. Right. But like, yeah. And so, my daughter turned what? Six. She's almost seven. She turned six. 12 years away from adulthood, my man. She's a third of the way to adulthood. It's flying by. When you look at it that way, it's flying by, right? And it's kind of, you know, one day we're in a season of life where, hey, man, I get mad at the toys sitting in my living room or the TV, mm-hmm. how loud it is, right? But that's just the season of life we're in, right? It's not going to be like that forever. One day I'm going to look back and I'm gonna be like, damn, where's that fucking volume at 90? You know, like, why isn't it at 90 right now? Where are the toys? Why am I not stepping on Legos? Why is there no yelling going on in the house? And that's when I truly get to be with my best friend again, right? And that's when we get to learn about each. So we learned about each other before parents, being parents. Then we learn about each other as parents. And then we get to learn about each other afterwards, post-parenthood and into grandparenthood, right? And man, I'm excited to be able to, you know, one day just look at my wife and be like, hey, let's go to a movie. Should we get a babysitter? Why? Yep. What do we need a babysitter for, right? And let's jump in the car and go on a six-hour road trip randomly again, right? We can't do that right now, man, you know? And you know, I miss that. I miss that. I miss hanging out with my wife. But I know that time will come again, right? And I'll be where you guys are. That's exciting.
I can tell you know, when you're in my position right now and the house is quiet, you know, you kind of think to yourself, where the hell did the time just go? You know, I spent my life driving truck and being gone long haul. And so I would watch my kids, you know, I pulled in the yard and spend as much time with them as I can. I know that I did a hell of a job raising them because, you know, whether it was their mother or it was me, I've got two well-balanced, you know, amazing kids that I'm very, very proud of. So there was something done right there. And I guess, you know, like work ethic and Jonathan, I said to Jonathan, I'm like, when this trial and everything's done, buddy, I'm going to send you and your girlfriend off on a hot holiday somewhere. And, you know, you're just going to shut your phone off and disappear for a little while. I know he's never done that before, but you know, I made him 50% owner of the business here a little while ago. You know, it's in my best interest for, you know, somebody to take over the business after I'm gone. And Jonathan, you know, having to look after the dispatch and all the, you know, all the phone calls and everything like that, he's definitely a business partner. So, you know, and I can't be prouder of my kid. He's done an amazing job.
That's amazing, man. And you know, my daughter, this is where we're at. You're making your kid 50% owner, and I just took the training wheels off my daughter's bike.
Nice.
She's falling a lot. She hasn't got it yet, but like, we're putting the towel under her arms and letting her go, and we're holding her up and then taking it away and letting her, like, but once she realizes no one's there, she falls. She's just like,
really?
Once you let her go, she does it, boom, falls. She realizes, oh shit, right? And you know, you said the quietness, right? The quietness of your house. I'm right now hiding in the storage room in the basement on a beanbag chair doing this podcast because I've never done a podcast when my kids are awake and at home before. And so they're usually asleep and I'm usually, you know, it's quiet, it's dark, whatever. and I'm doing it here now. And I've seen that door handle move a couple times. They know I'm in there. And my daughter has texted me from her tablet like 90 times, right? And my other daughter's like, yeah, can I be on your podcast too? Can I come in and say hi? It's like, no, not right now, right? But like if she walked in right now, like eventually I want to get her, I want to get them involved in this a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know to what extent, but I want to show them a little bit. Right. And, I want them to be a part of whatever I'm doing because, you know, I'm away a lot. Right. So like when I am home, come be a part of this with me, you know?
100%. Yeah. The wife and I are kind of finding our legs right now. We've got a side by side. And like I said, we live 2 miles from Lake Diefenbaker. So, our yard dog, Charlie, the big Great Pyrenees, you walk by the side by side in the corner of the garage and he's just moaning and growling at you like, let's go for a ride. So you drop the tailgate and he rides in the back and Zippy's in the front and the wife and I'll just go out. We'll probably end up doing that tonight and probably tomorrow and Saturday too. We've got so much beautiful terrain where we live. And we explore it on a regular, I think we've got 12,000 kilometers on our side by side. It's starting to give us a few issues. We should probably, it's been well used.
Yeah, man. We got a fire pit in our backyard. And like I've used it a couple times this summer, and like we're gonna use it a lot this weekend. I recently got into Twisted Teas. I'm not much of a drinker, but Twisted Teas, half of one, it got me feeling something good. I start drinking. Yeah, I get halfway through it, and I'm like, oh, whoa, you know. And then I get the other half. I'm lucky if I finish one, but if I do finish one, I crack another, and I'm like, okay, hand me the waters, right? Like it's fine. Right. And, you know, sitting by the fire and throwing wood on there, you know, having some s'mores and, you know, bush pies, you know, we're you know, it's a good time, man. And, you know, my kids are enjoying that kind of stuff, you know, and we're having, it's, I almost said it's May long weekend. Shit. It's August long weekend.
It is, yeah.
And, you know, we're in the dog days of summer, man. It's fucking August already, buddy. And this is depressing, man. You know, like I said, you know, the summer's almost over, man. You got another month and I'm back in the patch and away we go. Right. And I don't want it to end, man. I'm having a good time.
That's the conversation with my wife. I said, you know, like, let's take the camper to Ottawa and make a holiday. This will make the best of it. And we'll just go see some of Canada. And she's like, we have to hurry home at the after trial. Cause you know, I've got to start work. And I'm like, work, what the hell? She works in the school system. So work, like it's going to be the end of August and she's back in the school system. She works with special needs kids as an educational assistant in the local school division. So she's, yeah, it's going to be time again, which is, look, where the hell did summer go?
Where did summer go, man? I described it best the other day to a couple people where I was like, you remember that movie Click with Adam Sandler? Where, you know, he found that remote and he's like, fast forward to when I get a promotion. And it's like a year and a half later. And it's like, took that son of a bitch a year and a half to promote me, right? And then, you know, he's like, all right, fast forward to this. And next thing you know, his life's gone, right? Like, waiting on shit. His wife divorced him because he was always on autopilot. And his kids hate him. And his son grows up to be a workaholic just like him, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the last 10 years of my life. Someone put that Click remote in my hand. And here I am. I woke up. Like, remember when I said, you know, like, I'm clear-minded. I'm focused. You know, I'm laser-focused, right? I haven't been this laser-focused in a decade, man. You know, like, I mean, I'm feeling good. I feel good, you know? And someone put that – it's like someone put the Click remote in my hand and fast forward to when I feel better. And here I am 10 years later. And, you know, like, where did my life go, bro? You know, it's not quite like that. We've had a time in between, right? Like, I remember a lot of shit. It was just like, you know, maybe I, what's that word I'm looking for? I not zoned out, but man, it's been wild, dude. You know,
it'll catch up. You know, you just like, you know, I think what you're trying to say too is you need to change on the oil field side of it. And yeah, years ago I used to do trucking. We hauled casing all over the place. We were involved with all the different oil field companies all across the prairies and here. And you know what the best day of my life was? When I canceled all those contracts and just went to pure egg. That was like I said, when you pull into a farm and you're not looking for your high-vis vest and your hard hat and your boots to unload a combine, you basically jump out, shake the farmer's hand, have a conversation with him, undo your chains and unload it, and you're gone. And I love that aspect of my job.
Yeah, man. I don't necessarily know if I want to leave the oil patch. I want to like slow it down a little in the oil patch. The vac life is your on call 20, the service side. You're on call 24/7. You're working like 20, 30 hour days sometimes. Yeah. And the most I've been on site for is 44 hours or whatever it is, you know, and I spend 5 weeks away from home. That part's my fault, but I spend like up to five weeks away from home. And, you know, like, I don't want to leave the oil field. The oil field is in my blood. Right. But I need a change of pace maybe. And, you know, I don't want to say, you know, the podcast is a step towards that, but like, you know, maybe, who knows, dude. And, you know, I'm persistent with it. We're going to be like 85 episodes deep here with this episode. So, you know, we're there, man. You know, we're persistent, and that's 85 weeks without missing a day, without missing a week. Right. So like we're here.
Well, I'm glad I get to be part of the, like, a second time guest for the second time, I guess, right? That's cool.
Well, dude, I love everyone that comes on this podcast. Yeah. You know, when I have you back, it's, you know, a lot's changed in your life, and a lot has changed in your life since episode 3, man, a year and a half ago, you know? And, man, like, for one thing that's changed, do you know what viscosity is?
Like, yeah, the general rule of in liquid form, you mean?
Liquid form, yeah. The thickness of a fluid.
Yep.
Right. Where I'm going with that is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, right? Oh. The Mudman deals in the viscosity of the fluid going downhole on the rigs. Yep. He has changed the game when it comes to, you know, testing the mud, right? It used to be just like all kind of guesswork. Well, now he's, you know, it's digital and it's taking the guesswork right out of it. And he's an amazing guy. Amazing guy. You know, his friendship supersedes the podcast. You know, like we've been friends with each other long before this happened. And then he's like, hey, man, how about you want to sponsor for the podcast? Let's go on a 5-episode run and see how it works. And I'm like, okay, that was way back on episode 14. We're on episode 85, right? And the podcast has transformed so much because of him. He at first it started out with a headset and a mic. I needed that, right? Yep. And this will be episode 3 or 4 now, where I'm recording the podcast on my brand new $2,000 MacBook Pro.
Nice.
He supplied the MacBook Pro. It was for editing and recording. Yep. And dude, the Mudman's just been incredible, you know. And we're working on a couple others, sponsors. And I was talking to one the other day who's like, hey, so we're going to talk about this at our next board meeting here this week. What are you looking for in terms of money? Right. And I'm like, I've never done the money thing. Right. I only ask for equipment and things to help me make the podcast better. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. Well, we could do that. What are you looking for? Well, I'm always up north. I'm always in towns with shitty service, you know, and, you know, maybe a Starlink, you know, mm-hmm. like a Starlink. And they're like, we can make that work. Right. And then they're like, we'll call you back next week. So, you know, we're working on that shit, you know, like making connections and just trying to make the show better and having a good time with it, right?
That's so, how it's done, you know. I'm on Starlink right now. I'm you know, if you look up on the wall, I got the modem up there from Elon. So, and Starlink has been, I've liked it, actually. It's been a good service. So this is what you, and it's about growing your business too. And, you know, it's not always about the money. It's always about the friendships is what it should be.
Right. That's right. So Red Leaf Oil Clothing, he was on the mm-hmm. podcast a couple weeks ago, and I love his stuff. I love his Red Leaf gear and his logos and stuff and what he's coming out with. And when we first started, right, he's like, okay, man, I'll make you an affiliate. You push my stuff and I'll pay you, right? I'm like, okay. Well, like the first couple of months, I really didn't, you know, I didn't push it that hard. But like some people bought. He's like, man, he's like, I got $20 to send you. And I'm like, tell you what, man. You keep that $20, right? Put it back into your business or whatever. He's like, oh, are you sure? And I'm like, dude, of course, man. Like, I want, when I make real change for you, when I make something happen, then we'll talk, right? But $20, man, keep your $20. I'm not that hard up for money where I need $20, you know? Like, right. It's like, you keep your $20. We're friends, right? Like, when I can make a change in your business, then we'll talk, right? And I hope he liked that, you know, like I was doing that because, you know, like if I had my own thing going like that and I, you know, I would need that money to reinvest. Right. So like it's so $20 is not a lot. Right. So like, hey, keep it. You know, like one day soon, I'm going to start, I'll push your shit more, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll get somewhere. Maybe we won't. But like, you know, and he was on the podcast, I think last week, actually. So, you know, like, yeah.
It's about the relationships that you build. I know. Like I said, I come in from working outside in the shop. I'm totally exhausted, hot and sweaty. And I'm like, I promised you a while ago we were going to do a show and I've totally forgotten. I got busy. So I need an air conditioned basement. And, you know, if and I can help you make, you know, grow your podcast and get more views, I'm all for that 100%.
You know, I always say when people are like, sorry, man, I've been busy. I've been busy too, man. You know what? I don't care. It'll happen when it's meant to happen, you know, like, Murphy was supposed to record a podcast with me like 5 months ago, right? He eventually recorded it. Oh, no, it was like 6 or 7 months ago. We eventually recorded it, but he's like, hey, man, we're going to record it when I'm in Vegas. Cool, let's do it, man. That night in Vegas, the dude had his fucking hangover moment. He got drugged, like totally spaced out, lost everything. Comes on the podcast a week later, and we were talking about it. I'm like, man, this is why it didn't happen that night. You were meant to tell your hangover story. You know what I mean? You were the full story hadn't come out yet. Now it's out. Now we have a lot more to talk about. You know, like we don't need to do a podcast right away. You know what I mean? Like I ask and people are like, yeah, man, let's go. You know who's coming on the podcast? I'm recording with her next week. Who? The Oilers booby flasher girl.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
Now you're going to get the Hawk to it girl, but she's charging, I guess, right now.
I messaged her. I'll never get her, right? I don't need to pay people to come on, dude. I can have a good time just recording by myself. You know what I mean? Like, would it be cool? That'd be cool. For how long? She did the spit on that thing, give her a hawk too. Well, how long is that train gonna last for her, right?
Like, I don't know. I listened to a video of hers today where she's doing an interview and she's like, oh yeah, no, people are like paying her for events and paying her for this. And she looked at her bank account and she's like, yeah, I don't know.
Good for her. You know, we all got to make that money somewhere. We all got to like get on that train at one point in time and ride it as far as we can. But like, you know, it's a pain in the ass when you see shit like that. How put 4 years into social media, right? Ain't nobody paying me for fucking appearances, right? She says one thing, spin on the thing, give it a hawk too, right? And now she's fucking raking it in. What the hell, man? Yo, what's a guy I gotta dance naked on a table or some shit?
I go on my troll TikTok account, my Chris Barber one, and it tells me all the time. It's like you gotta enlist or something like that for creator money. You can get paid for this shit now, and it didn't. The ad still keeps coming up on the bottom of the thing, and I keep hitting X because I don't care. I mean, every time you do a live on TikTok, you get a certain amount of credits or something. I've got a balance on my one account, and I don't know how to get it off there, nor do I give a shit. You know, I'm not on social media to make money. I'm on social media to have fun with it. So
yeah, absolutely. Man, I haven't been live very much this summer at all, dude. I took a step back, you know, like I needed to. That's part of the clearing the mind thing, right? Like, you know, the further down social media I went, the less social I became, right? And I started getting out with my coworkers again. I started going out and exploring after work again, you know, like I used to go hiking a lot. I used to like go exploring shit. And, you know, social media kind of like, hey, man, I got to be on social media. I got to be in the know. You know what I mean? I got to get this video out. And now it's like, hey, man, if I don't have a video for a couple days, I don't got a video for a couple days. So be it. You know, like I'm going to go hang out and do things that are enjoyable again. And, you know, here we are. Clear mind. You know what I mean? And it's been great.
I look at social media when it works for me, when I have a minute to look at it. You know, if I'm working in the shop like I was this afternoon, it's hot and sweaty. You're trying to do tires on a truck and I grabbed a Gatorade and I sat in the chair and I scrolled through my feeds. And but I can put it down and walk away from it. When my wife gets here tonight after she's in Swift Current right now, when she gets home, the phone will go down and we'll go sit on the deck and have a beer and talk about our day. And, you know, that's the important stuff, right? You need to be able to take a break from it, walk away from it. When I look on TikTok and I see the same people doing lives basically 24 hours a day, you're like, holy crap, man. Do you get sun in a day? Like, what the hell's wrong with you? Get a life.
They went live outside.
And that's one thing, too. And if I meet you in person, the one thing I won't have out is my phone. My phone will stay in my pocket. I wouldn't mind, you know, I hate that when you're with somebody and they fire up a live or go on their social media. Like, we got to get back to that old days of actually having a conversation with people.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what's crazy? Like, I've done a lot of meetups with a lot of other creators, and there's been a couple times where we've made a video, but that was pre-planned, right? We're like, oh, hey, man, we're going to make a video. But for the most part, we just shoot the shit in chat. We don't go on our phones, right?
Yeah, until right.
It's that video. You know who the alien is, the guy talking Yoda doll?
I don't think I do. I might. I see a lot of stuff in the day.
When we were working in Athabasca a couple years ago, I met the guy behind the talking Yoda doll. He came to my hotel room and we shot the shit for 4 hours.
Really?
He hung out my room and we just shot the shit. Toothless Lucas, we made one video. The rest of the time, we just shot the shit. We went for a beer. We hung out in town. He's also from Athabasca. Chris Berlinger, he comes and hangs out. We shoot the shit. We sit there and hang out. We went live one time. But like that was, you know, like everyone loves Berlinger and I love Berlinger and we went live together. But and then there was the time at Clay's house where you were there. And, you know, I think I bust my phone out once that whole time. Right. I was just like, hey, let's make a video on the throne with Dick. Let's go. Right. And
that was fun. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. You and Jimmy. Yeah. That was good times.
I missed the weekend this last May because the camper's still sitting in the shed from where it was. Last fall when I parked it there, so
I missed it too. I wanted to go. I thought it was one weekend, but it ended up being the other weekend, and I was
worried. Yeah, that was it too. And,
I wanted to go to Warren's pig roast too, but didn't end up getting out to get to that. Once again, working the click remote, right? It's been a good summer, but like you know, I'm as we progress here, I eventually want to move into maybe being able to I can afford to take some time off and go do other things, right? Like go have a pig roast with someone, go do this, go do that. And, you know, I don't want to get too heavily involved by talking about the podcast monetizing because then it becomes something it's not and it becomes more of a job. Right. And I like this. It's been a lot of fun and I don't want to ruin that. So, fuck, dude. It's hopefully it gets there one day, but if it doesn't, I'm okay with that too.
Just keep slowly picking away at it, and that's all a guy can do.
Yeah.
I don't know where Tamara and I are. I'm kind of leaving things in Tamara's court the last while. I've been so busy with trucking and trying to keep, you know, like the office work and the administrative stuff. I had to remind myself to print paychecks for everybody here today because it's like I've been working nonstop. So Tamara is working on the podcast idea with some other people that can help produce it. And there's a lot of technical stuff that goes behind the scenes, as you more than well know. So the entry level and then to do it on a schedule, or do you do it just at will when, you know, you fire up a quick one and throw it out on social media?
Yeah.
I think we're going to do that. It'll be just like, you'll just record something on a whim and then you'll throw it out there and people can choose to watch it or not. And, people want to hear from Tamara and I, of course, you know, we did some traveling. I don't know if I should tell you about this or not, but there were some truckers out there that are facing legal trouble and jeopardy from their court fees. So we went to Ontario. We actually went all the way to Nova Scotia. We were invited to go out there for a fundraiser for Guy Meister. And in the process, you know, we met an amazing group of people in Nova Scotia. I can tell you what, the East Coast hospitality is absolutely amazing. I fell in love with, it's just amazing. We, one of the boys out there has a lobster fishing company, and so offered us to take us out in the Bay of Fundy on a lobster boat, but went down to the Bay of Fundy in the harbor and watched the tide come in, and these boats were like 16 feet down in the mud, and then as you just over an hour or something like that, the tide came up 16 feet or 20 feet or something like that and pushed these boats up, and went out on the lobster on the harbor and picked up a lobster crate out of the ocean and fished about 15 lobsters out of it, and we cooked them right on the boat of the lobster boat and ate them like barbarians, and it was beyond. And then out to BC we went for another conference there for Tamara and I to speak, you know, live in front of a group of people for the first time, and then we got invited to go out on a whale watching boat. It was a 1960s yacht that this old boy restored out in Victoria. And so we spent the day out there with an amazing group of freedom fighting people out there, a wedding, it was a weekend, and watched these big ass humpback whales coming out of the water beside the boat. Is that ever intimidating as hell? Cause you're standing there, you know, they're there, and all of a sudden you hear the blowhole and this big son of a bitch comes out of the water beside you, and they're massive. Yeah. Holy crow. But it was just, But after that, we were gone for probably 3 weeks. I got permission from my wife to go travel across the country to do some fundraising with Tamara. We had so many people along the way that helped us out. I just had to, I had to kind of crash after that. I said to Tamara, I'm like, I got to get some work done and focus on the business and the family. And, you know, we've got horses here. So I had to get the hay cut and get the bales put up. And so we did that. And hopefully next week, like I said, now one more trip.
What did you guys raise? How much did you guys raise for the truckers?
I don't even know. None of the stuff that we raised, actually, we didn't even see it. It all went to wherever we were that day. So we did a fundraiser for Dan Hartman in Creemore, Ontario. Most people know the story on Dan Hartman's son, Sean. If you don't, you should investigate that one. It's heart-wrenching. And so Dan, we did a fundraiser there. We went down to Niagara. We took part in Jay Vandenweer. He was the Live from the Shed truck in Wellington. Jay was found guilty, 2 counts of mischief. He was the guy sentenced to house arrest in in Niagara region right now. And of course, we raised some funds to try and appeal that. I think we got about $12,000 or $13,000 out of that event that went directly to Jay. And then out to Nova Scotia we went for Guy Meister. I want to say somewhere around 8 to 10 on that. Guy was arrested for mischief. I believe he's been back to Ottawa approximately 13 times for trial in the last couple of years. Yeah, you know what? And then I kept talking to Guy and say, hey, are you all right? Is everything okay? And then finally, you know, he said, no, I got to sell some stuff here to pay for some legal fees or from travel expense. So we went out and it was an awesome event. We did a live a viewing of the documentary Unacceptable on the big screen in this shop that we were in. And people got to watch that. Man, that's an emotional one.
I haven't seen it yet, man. I don't know where it is. Where do I find that? Where can we find it?
So Eagle Vision Video Productions is the company that made this documentary. It is the convoy story in a whole. It tells the exact truth from where the money went to how it started to where it ended. It brings in a whole range of different people. Tamara's in there a lot. They play a couple of my clips in there. Brian Peckford, the Honorable Brian Peckford's one of the speakers as well. You hear from different stories from different truckers. So Gary at freedomnetwork.ca streams Unacceptable. So freedomnetwork.ca. And you can always go to Eagle Vision's website and order it yourself there and get a copy. And that's evvpd.ca. So Eagle Vision Visual Productions.ca. It'll change, you know. I wish they'd play the documentary in schools because, you know, I'm getting a chill just thinking about it right now. It'll bring back every range of emotions you can possibly have. It'll make you happy. It'll make you proud. It'll make you angry. You know, and it's just, it gets me every single time. And I think I've watched it 15 times now, so.
The original Inside Out 2, eh?
It is, yeah. Holy shit. It brings a lot out of you, man. There's a lot of emotions that went into what happened in February of 2022, so.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Shit, dude. I remember I was in a video recently actually came through on this day, and it was Canada Day, I believe. And I was getting on an airplane. I had the mask on in the airport, and I'm like, hey, Canada, happy Independence Day. But it's not the only thing that we're free of today, right? And then it's like, I no longer have to wear this, right? And I fucking chucked it. And I zoom back into it. I'm like, bye, friend. And I just left it there on the floor and walked away. Right. And yeah, I went back and got it because it was a Toronto Maple Leaf one. Right. So like, you know, like I gotta have that. I gotta have something to remember this shitty time by. Right. And then I saw something on my Facebook the other day that was like, you know, what's a real first world problem is that my facial recognition on my phone doesn't open up when I have a mask on. Like, what the fuck is this? I got to type in my password like some fucking 19 fucking 99 baby or something. I don't know. It was fuck.
Do you think so? Here's the question, I guess, if the bird flu and all this shit comes to tuition in the fall here, are people going to fall back into the government narrative of trying to lock us down and masks and force vaccinations?
I think the time for that is over.
I think it is.
I don't think they're going to fall for that again. There's a lot of shit that has happened every time, you know, like I said, I think I said it last time and I'll say it again. Trudeau had me, I was going with it for the first couple months.
Yep. Me too.
And then it was Easter, I believe Easter, it was Easter when he said, this is going to be a very different Easter. You're not going to get to see your family. You're not going to get to travel. Stay the fuck home. Right. And then next thing you know, every single politician was traveling. to see their families at Easter time. They, whether they were across the country or in a different country or like fucking 2 hours away, they were traveling to go see them after telling us not to do it. And that's where they lost me. They lost me 2 months in, right? They had
Feared us. They feared pouring us into believing. And we were all scared right off the bat. I mean, I was trucking right through the pandemic and driving on bloody ass empty highways and, you know, no restaurants, no bathrooms. I've told the story many times. I think the one thing that gets me the most is that people had to watch their loved ones die on an iPad or through a plate glass window. You can't have the humility or the decency to let a dying person hold the loved one's hand when they take that last breath. You're so scared of a stupid virus that, you know, if the masks work, then why not wear a mask? Or if the vaccines work, then why not get... Come on, like something has to be. I want accountability for this. To this day, I want accountability from our elected officials for doing what they did to Canadians or people all around the world.
Yeah, well, our own military came out, what was it, last year and said that they weaponized our fear. And they fully admitted that. They weaponized our fear against us, yep. Right? And it's, I don't know, dude. I don't know where to go. I know how I want it to end. People need to be brought out in handcuffs at the end of this, but it won't happen.
No, it won't happen. But people need to be, you know, when you're dealing with the people, the four Coots boys in Lethbridge and Alberta, and Tony and Chris are going through trial right now. We should have a verdict here shortly. We'll probably have a verdict before this episode airs. But how do you go from four people sitting in remand centers for 700 and some days and letting two of them out? You know, remember the big media push was like conspiracy to commit murder against police officers. How do you drop the charge to a lesser charge of improper storage of a firearm and you let two of them out? They broke them is what they did, and that's what they wanted to do. I talk to Tony all the time. He calls from the remand center and has a 20-minute conversation. I can tell you that guy's an amazing guy. I can't wait to shake his hand or give him a hug after this bullshit is all complete. People need to be held accountable for the you know, Pat King. Look at Pat King right now. Whether you like Pat King or not, Pat was rearrested a few days ago, and he is now in a remand center in Ottawa right now because of something he said on social media. What the hell's wrong with Canada when you know, this is supposed to be a free country. You can say what you want.
To a certain extent, though, like, you know what I mean? I agree, but, like, Pat King was a little, you know...
He's risky. Yeah. He's
risky. He risked it for the biscuit. You know, didn't he threaten to end the lives of some politicians or some shit?
No. Be careful how you read that, because that was taken out of context with the media too. I mean, he was saying what 90% of Canadians probably think, and that, you know, the way that the government was running their narrative, it was going to end badly for them. Per se, I guess he was saying what a lot of people thought, but, you know, we've said it in the past too. It's like, how far are they going to push us before somebody snaps? And unfortunately, you know, I'm thankful that people are still holding it together right now, as desperate as people can be. So,
yeah, man, I'm actually really surprised, but I don't think anyone wants to be the martyr or make him the martyr, right? Like,
I don't. That's the last thing we need. We don't need anybody to do anything, and no violence should ever come. This guy needs to be humiliated for the rest of his life. You don't want a martyr there at all.
He will be. Absolutely. He will be. As soon as this is done, man. As soon as he's done, man, humiliation for the rest of his life. Right? Yep. Like, he won't be able to walk into a restaurant anywhere without people like clowning on him. You know what I mean? Like, he's done, man.
His personality is narcissism, and that is the worst thing for a narcissism, is to be mocked.
Yeah. Man, do you watch This Hour Has 22 Minutes on TikTok?
Not on TikTok. I used to watch the actual show on CBC back when it was on.
Yeah, same. But they have the funniest skits on TikTok, man. They go hard at Trudeau and Pierre, right? Like, they... Good. Oh, dude, it's funny. They mock Trudeau all the time, right? I'll send you a video. Okay. Fuck, dude, I can't find it. It's so far back now. But, like, one of them was how Toronto handles their break and entering and their car theft shit, right? And this woman, you know, she was standing at her door, and the cop rolls up to her house, and he's like, excuse me, ma'am, there's been a report of a stolen car here. And she's like, yeah, I called you yesterday. And right. And like, yeah. And he's like, well, I'm here now, you know, it's an emergency. So, you know, I came as fast as I could. Right. And, she's like talking to him, and he's like, well, what does he look like? And then she's looking around. She's like, oh, it's him right there. And he's breaking into the cop car, right? Nope. And he's breaking into the cop car, right? And so he runs up. He's like, hey, you. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Sorry, sorry, man. He's like, no, man. He's like, you don't need to break the window. I got the keys right here. And he gives him the keys, right? And he's like, you sure? He's like, yeah, yeah, get in there. Right? So he gets in. He starts the car. He starts driving away. And the cop's like, whoa, 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 hold up a minute. And the guy's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's like, seatbelt, man, right? And he puts the seatbelt on and fucks off.
That's right? Basically what it is nowadays. I seen the one where they were mocking the, what was it, the Northwest Territories premiere, I believe. What the hell was that now about? That was, I did see some of the videos on it.
Yeah, man. Look up that This Hour has 22 minutes, yeah, and go look at it, all right? There was a video there about, you know, he's like, we need something to refresh Canadians' memories of who I am. And it's Trudeau, right? And his PR team's right there. And it's like, well, sir, I don't think you really want that, right? And like going on about it. And it was for the CERB. Oh, let's give him money, right? And it was CERB, right? And they're like, okay, well, like, let's give it to them, but make them answer a question first, right? And he's like, okay. He's like, Canadians love questions, right? And fucking, he's like, all right. And he's like, what do you want the question to be? He's like, blank Trudeau, right? And then this guy, his phone dings, and he looks at it. Oh, money from the government. Secret question, blank Trudeau. And he's like, well, that's easy. And then he's like, fuck. And then it's us, right? And fuck, dude, man, you gotta go down This Hour as 22 minutes. Every time it comes up, I go down the rabbit hole. I watch every video. Whether it's about Pierre or whether it's about Trudeau or it's whatever it is, it's always funny. You know, this is matter what side of the
political party. We have to, you got to mock them all equally. That's for sure. Oh, yeah, 100%. Even Jag.
Oh, dude, 100%, dude. And you know, it's been wild. It's been wild. This is 40, our 40, movie. Are we in like a comedy series right now?
Well, yeah. It should be. 40 million people across Canada, and this is our elected officials, like the best of the best. It's like, I was fortunate enough when we were in Victoria to have beer with Brian and Carol Peckford in a little pub. Tamara and I sat and we visited with them for the night. And I said that to Brian, I'm like, is this real? Like, is this our political class now? Is this the best that we have? And he shook his head and he said, this is, it's the worst thing I've seen in his history. And he's been here a long time. That's the man that wrote the Charter of Rights and Freedoms for Canada. And he's
hooking up with him.
Yeah. Did you
hook with Brian Peck? I want to have him on the podcast.
Oh, for sure.
Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
Yep. Yeah, he actually, that night, he brought us, Tamara and myself, he brought us our own signed copy of the Charter of Rights on a nice, I haven't been able to get time to frame it yet, but it will be on my wall here shortly. So, yeah, that's a very, very proud moment for me. Brian signed it right there at the table for us, and his wife, Carol, is just an amazing person. She is, it was an awesome night. I couldn't, there's been a lot of opportunities in the last number of years that I can pinch myself for, and yeah, that's definitely one of the highlights right there.
That's huge, man. I got to have lunch recently. This is a highlight for me in Saskatchewan. I went to Foam Lake, right? And you probably know where I'm going with this if you know who's in Foam Lake. I got to have lunch with Quick Dick McDick.
Nice.
You know who Quick Dick is?
Oh, right? Yeah, absolutely do. Yep.
And I message him all the time on Twitter. We talk all the time. I'm trying to get him on the podcast, but he's so busy. Every time I talk to him, he's like, oh, I'm spraying right now. Oh, I'm seeding right now. Oh, I'm doing this, right? And then I'm like, hey, man, I'm only like an hour and a half away from you. I was in Humboldt. And I'm like, man, I'm an hour and a half away from you right now. It's a rain day. What are you doing? He's like, meet me for lunch at whatever place this is in Foam Lake. I'll see you there at this time. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm in. So I drove the hour and a half to have lunch with this guy. We spent like 45 minutes together, man, just shooting the shit with the guy. Right. Yeah. And a fucking incredible individual, you know, and
he's good.
I fucking love him. He's funny.
I love his videos. I was hauling equipment here back a while ago and I went by Foam Lake too. And Blue Balls was sitting in the dealer in the repair shop. I'm like, ha, there's Quick Dick's truck. Yes.
Yeah, man. And what's crazy about that guy is he can't walk around Foam Lake without people stopping him. Hey, Dixon, what's up, man? Hey, Dixon, how's it going, man? And we're just shooting the shit and people are like, Dixon. And I was going to pay for lunch, right? I was going to pay for lunch. But, like, he gets up. He's like, no, no, no. I got lunch, right? And we're walking up to the till. Some guy's like, Dixon, I got your lunch. You guys are good. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, how did this turn into I'm buying lunch? No, I got it too. No, this dude has it, right? And, like, you know, he's well-known everywhere, man. You know, like, he's doing big things too, like raising money and talking about farming and getting into politics a little bit. And, you know, like, Dixon, I never knew him as Dixon, right? Like, I knew his name was Dixon, but, like, it was like Quick Dick McDick, right?
Yep. And,
yeah, man, like, fucking,
I like stuff. Yeah. He says it like it is, and that's the way it should be. You know, like Tucker Carlson when he was in Edmonton, one of the best things that I heard Tucker say in that night was that the time for mockery is now. We need to be able to mock people again because it's the only way forward on this. And I firmly agree. Like, this is, it's mock, and Quick Dick is awesome at mocking people.
He is. He's all about that life, you know. Yep. You know, if you're gonna be dumb, you better be. If you're gonna be stupid, you better be tough, right?
Absolutely.
And that's just fucking where we are right now. I saw a thing like, this is what they meant by weak men creating hard times, and it was a picture of Trudeau sitting with Biden, right? And fuck, dude, I don't like talking politics, man. But fucking here we are, you know. Like, fucking, I should know. Like, you know, we're having Chris Barber on. It's going to be political, right? And it's going to be. And that's – but you can have fun with it. You know Pierre Poilievre is just as dumb as Trudeau, is just as dumb as Trump, is just as dumb as this, is just as dumb as that, right? And, like, we can have fun and talk about it. Some people can't even joke about it. If I say – I made a video a couple years ago that I stitched some guy's video. I was standing next to a hay bale. And this dude, like, a raccoon was in his garbage. And he reached in there, he grabbed it, and he was talking to the raccoon. And I'm like, well, shit. We got grown men literally afraid of a fucking needle right now. And this was when the job was coming out. We got grown men of literally afraid of a fucking needle right now. And this dude's staring face to face with a wild raccoon, right? And the comment section was like, we're not scared of the needle. We're not scared of the needle. And I'm like, bro, like, calm down. It's a joke. I also am on your side. Just I'm not fucking, you know, as like crazy about it, you know, like. You know, like, I'm not, like, some fucking, what's the word I'm looking for here? Tyrannical about it. I'm not tyrannical. Yeah. I'm not
triggered, are you?
Triggered. I'm not, yeah, whatever. Triggered. I'm not.
We're in this position because people have desensitized themselves to just about everything out there. You know, like, you can't even be a comedian anymore because, you know, all these big comedians. You look at Eminem, you know, he's literally canceled himself hundreds of thousands of times just over what he says in the public, and people are so, well, they're just desensitized. They're so sensitized now. It's pathetic.
100%, man. Radical was the word I'm looking for. I'm just not fucking radical about it. You know, like, you know, mockery. But I mean, look, I've said this 100 times. Okay, like, you see Dave Chappelle's in town, right? And you're like, oh, I want to go to a Dave Chappelle comedy show. Fuck yeah. Oh, wait. I am sensitive to transsexual jokes. You know, like, maybe I'm a transsexual and I don't like those jokes. Well, like, don't go fucking buy that ticket then.
Right.
Be triggered. Right. But no, people are putting themselves in the position to be triggered. Right. They're like, I want to be mad about something. So I'm going to put myself. Okay. You can only play the victim so long before you're doing it to yourself.
Yep.
Right. You know, like, you're doing it to, don't put yourself in these, don't invite the opportunity. You know what I mean? And it's,
have you ever watched Tosh.0 on Comedy Central?
Of course. Him and Anthony Jeselnik.
Gosh, my wife was gonna get tickets because I'd come home and it'd be like Tosh.0 all evening, and she's like, oh, we're just gonna go to Vegas and watch Tosh so Chris can see him in person. And it never happened. It's been busy, but we got rid of our subscription TV. We actually got rid of our TV. I barely even watch the thing anymore except for a movie on Netflix.
Empty nester life. Look at you. Oh,
yeah, no, I hear the wife just came home and she's already grabbing a beer for the deck, so.
Well, hey, I won't keep you too long, man.
Oh, yeah.
I won't keep you too long. Man, thanks for coming on the podcast, bro. You know,
appreciate you having me.
Part two, we're going to do a part three, man. Like, fucking, you're one of the small handful of people. Oh, I can't really say that. I like everybody. I like talking to everybody. Yeah. But, like, you're someone that, you know, you reach out to me, dude, sometimes. You're like, hey, man, how you doing? You were in Fox Creek, and you're like, hey, man, what are you doing right now? I'm at Fox Creek at the Econo Lodge. It's like, dude, I'm just going to work, man. Like, it's 6 in the morning, you know, like, and, like, if I had time that morning, I would have met you at Tim Hortons, right? And, like, I reach out to you, you reach out to me, you know, and not a lot of people do that. It's one-way street usually where I have to do all the reaching out, right? And I'm really busy for that, right? I'm so busy. It's hard to constantly reach out and check up on my friend. I try as hard as I can. But, like, you know, I'm appreciative for the connection I've made with you, you know, like, you reach out and I reach out, and it's a friendship. I like to think it's a friendship. You know,
yeah, absolutely. We could say we've met each other in person, and and there'll be times in the next little while I'll be heading up to, you know, to Grand Prairie or to Fort St. John, and I think I have a couple loads already scheduled, but I'll be on my way to Ottawa. There's a fellow that just bought a swather and a header that has to go like way north, like high level ish area. I don't even know there's farmland up, but there is farmland up there. So
yeah. I just got home for days off, so I've got a couple loads scheduled too, right?
And yeah.
But speaking of that, high level is the northernmost community in the world suitable for agriculture.
Yeah. Oh, and I didn't know that. Yeah. And they were really against the mandates when they came on. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that was one area of the country that was like, screw you and your mandates.
We're so far north and there's hardly anyone that lives here. Fuck you guys.
Big time. Yeah,
it was. So last time you were on the podcast, you know, I didn't have this segment of my podcast yet, right? But I usually like to end the podcast with one last question, you know, and it's Mount Rushmore has 4 of the most influential or supposed to be most influential people in the history of time up on the Rock. And, you know, if you could have your own Mount Rushmore with 4 people that you look up to, inspire to be, or that inspired you, who would they be and why?
Oh, my gosh, that would be a really good question. Man, my father would have to be one of them. If it was my personal one, my grandfather was one of the ones that he owned the house that I live in now, renovated. But my grandfather John, my dad Dan, I would have to say my mother and of course my wife. I'm all about family, so it'd have to be family if it was something like that for me, for sure.
You know who would be on my rock if I was Chris Barber? You know who would be on my rock? You talk about him all the time, man, and you sound like you're really proud and you're really, like, inspired by him. Jonathan, man, like,
yeah,
he's such an integral part of, like, everything, right? From, you know, he was one of the first people to sit in Big Red, you know what I mean? Like, you talked about the last episode, you know, yeah. he would sit in Big Red, you drive him down the road in it, and when he was a baby, you know, and, like, just, you know, where we're at, where we've come in the last even year and a half, dude. Like, you are such a proud dad, dude, and I love that.
I talk to him probably, I don't know, we could talk up to 10 times in a day. If something goes wrong, Jonathan's, you know, if you look at the most called person on my phone, it would be definitely Jonathan. We talk about business, we talk about what we need to do, we talk about personal problems. He was there with us in Ottawa. He was in the, you know, he, Tamara, myself, and Jonathan were in Big Red as well as Zippy all the way across the country, and Jonathan was there for the entire time in the protest. So when I wasn't at Big Red, Jonathan would walk down and open the door and say hi to people. You know, that kid, he's my rock, and I'm, yeah, deeply proud of him. So
that's huge, man. I love that. I love that. Man, thanks for coming on. You go get that beer with your wife. You know, you're in a state of life right now that, like, I don't want to rush to, but, like, I definitely can't wait to get back to, you know, like, I picture myself, you know, my wife and I have been together 20 years and 20 more years, you know, when we're empty nesters. You know, I'd like to say we'll be sitting on that porch having some twisted teas, getting right fucked up off happy.
You get to go through, remember this age 14 for your daughter. Sorry. I was laughing about that the other day with Sierra. I was like, one minute she was crying, next minute she was yelling, and the next minute she was laughing. I was like, where the hell are you right now? Hormonal.
Fuck, man. You know, the shit they put in our food these days, my daughter has entered this phase early. She's 7, right? She is, like, getting there, dude. And we took her to the doctor and it's confirmed. Like, she is starting the, for lack of a better, the puberty phase, right? She's, you know, and it's sad, dude. You know, they have to monitor now because, you know, when women go through puberty, either their bones shift and grow a different way. She's seven. Or she's not fully done growing yet. So if that shift's happening now, before she's done, it could affect her growth, right? So they're watching that closely now. She's got to go and get monitored for that. And the poor kid, man, you know, she's in therapy a lot. She's got high anxiety and, you know, it's really funny the way she talks sometimes, man. Like, you know, it's where did this premature, this 6 week premature baby who was fucking 3 pounds in the NICU and smaller than a Coca-Cola cup at the movie theater. We have the picture. Yeah. When did it turn into fuck you, dad? You know, like, like when did it turn to that second grade is starting and it's fuck you, dad, right? Like,
I would like to tell you it's not going to get worse before it gets better.
I taught her when her mom was giving her shit there a couple months ago now. I taught her, I'm like, hey, go up to your mom and be like, get off my dick, mom, right? And I got in a lot of trouble for that. Yeah. My wife, she used to say it to my wife a lot. And then one day I'm on the phone and my wife's like, hey, you got to knock that shit off. Like, shove the bar of soap down your throat. And I'm like, oh, shit. Right? Yeah. And I got to watch what I say, man. She's copying everything. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had to phone my daughter here a little while ago and actually give her shit. And I haven't done that in a long time, but she was getting so, she works for me. She does paperwork. She does piloting and all that. And she would just get mad and she'd hang up on me. So I had to phone her back and I said, okay, we can banter. We can bitch back and forth with each other, but disrespecting your father by hanging up or yelling at me and hanging up has got to fucking stop. And phone was dead quiet. And she went, I'm sorry. And that's all it takes, you know? And I've said that to Jonathan too. He can come home. We have a pilot truck, a brand new, it's a 2023 Chevy pilot truck. It's sole job is escorting oversized shit. And, you know, we're running hard. We're doing what we can. Jonathan backed into the side of it with his semi and in a parking lot, unhooking a drill and smashed the box in. And so the phone call came in and John's like, dad, I fucked up. And I've always said this to Jonathan, just own it. If you do something wrong, own it. And then we'll move on from there. If you lie about it or something else like that, then we're going to have issues. And, you know, I'm scared when I hear those words, like I fucked up. You know what? $5,500 damage and the parts are in order. And I don't want the poor kid to have 6 points against his driver's license for some stupid incident. So, yeah. You know, just get the truck fixed and carry on with their day. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And be absolutely thankful nobody got hurt. Tin and all that shit could be replaced easy. So,
absolutely, brother. Go have that beer. Go. It's your name. Go relax with the wife. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for being a part of this again, man. You know, I can't enough. You know, I'm excited every time an episode drops. Still 85 weeks in. I'm just as excited as episode one. So.
Send me the clip again when it comes in, and I'll share it on all my social media things, and we'll keep watching your stuff. So,
absolutely, buddy, and same with you. You, man, you guys have a great night. Give the best to my wife, or my wife, your wife.
I will. Yeah, real. I'll go have a beer. Okay, buddy. Take care of yourself. See ya. You got the exit noise. Nice, eh? I like that.